Chapter 26. Reacher turned right and followed the sign. The road was narrow and dark, and dead straight, like a lot of roads in Iowa. The surrounding landscape was invisible, but it felt flat. Dormant winter fields, left and right, as far as the mind could sense. There was nothing up ahead, just darkness. And then Missouri, presumably, 100 miles away. Maybe a river first. The Des Moines, Reacher thought. He had studied geography in school. The river called the Des Moines met the mighty Mississippi a couple 100 miles southeast of the city called Des Moines. He said, "This is a complete waste of time, guys. We're going to drive 20 miles and find a gas station that went out of business before they invented unleaded." McQueen said, "There was a sign. Has to mean something. It means there was gas here back when you were in grade school, 30 cents a gallon, and Lucky's at 30 cents a pack. I'm sure they keep those signs updated. You're a very trusting person." "Not really," McQueen said. Reacher drove on. The road surface was pitted and potholed, and the car bounced and swayed. Not its natural element as a vehicle. Or Reacher's as a driver. Both had been better on the highway. McQueen asked, "How's your head?" Reacher said, "My head is fine. It's my nose that's busted, not my skull." "You need another aspirin?" "I already had that discussion with Mr. King while you were asleep." King said, "He elected to soldier on without, and he seems very protective of Karen's personal supply." "Aspirin is not a prescription drug," McQueen said. "She could get more at the gas station, or paracetamol, or ibuprofen." "Or leeches," Reacher said. "We might find some under a dusty old pile of inner tubes and buggy whips after we bust the padlock the bank put on 30 years ago. "Just keep going," McQueen said. "Be patient." So Reacher drove on, slowly south on the lumpy road, and 2 miles later he was proved wrong, and McQueen was proved right. They all saw a faint yellow glow in the nighttime mist, way far ahead in the distance on the horizon like a beacon, which grew stronger as they approached it, and which finally resolved itself into the fierce neon glare of a brand new Shell station, all crisp white and yellow and orange, sitting like a mirage or a landed UFO on a quarter-acre bite out of a fallow cornfield. It had high-tech pumps on 2 gondola islands and lube bays and a glassed-in store lit up so bright it must have been visible from outer space. And it was open for business. "You should have trusted me," McQueen said. Reacher slowed the car to a walk and turned in. He chose the pumps farther from the store and nearer the road and eased to a stop. He put the transmission in park and shut down the motor. He pulled the key casually, like a reflex, like a rote habit, and dropped it in his pocket. Alan King saw him do it, but said nothing. Reacher said, "Same system. I get the coffee, you get the gas." "Works for me," McQueen said. So Reacher opened his door and got out. He stood and stretched and arched his back and then looped around the pump islands and headed for the bright lights. He could see a kid on a stool behind the register, watching him, staring at his face, the busted nose. A universal attraction, apparently. The guy wasn't much more than 20 years old, and he looked sleepy and slow. Reacher paused before going in and checked back. Alan King had dipped a credit card and was getting ready to pump the gas. McQueen was still in the rear seat. Del Fuenzo was still next to him. Reacher went inside. The kid behind the register looked up and nodded a cautious greeting. Reacher waited until the door sucked shut and said, "Got a payphone?" The kid blinked and opened his mouth and closed it again like a goldfish. "Not a difficult question," Reacher said. "A simple yes or no answer will suffice."
"Yes," the kid said. "We have a payphone."
"Where is it?"
"By the restrooms," the kid said.
"Which are where?" The kid pointed.
"In back," he said.
Reacher looked the other way, out the window. Don McQueen's door was open. But he was still in the car, just sitting there, facing forward. Reacher turned back and saw a door in the rear wall of the store. It had 2 stick figures on it, one in a skirt and one in pants. He stepped over to it and pulled it open. Behind it was a small lobby with 2 more doors, one with the pants figure on it, and the other with the skirt. On the wall between the two was a payphone, shiny and new, with an acoustic hood over it. Reacher checked back. King was pumping the gas. McQueen was twisted sideways in his seat. He had both feet out of the car. They were planted on the ground. But that was all. He was stretching his legs for comfort. He wasn't moving. Not yet, anyway. Reacher checked the ladies' room. No windows, no alternate exit. He checked the men's room. No windows, no alternate exit. He pulled a wad of towels from the dispenser and came back out to the lobby and folded the towels twice and jammed them between the lobby door and its frame on the hinge side so that the door held itself open a few inches. A little less than 4 inches, to be exact. Reacher ducked back and checked the view from the phone. He could see a small sliver of the store. He could see a tiny slice of the main door. Not much, but he would know if it opened. He hoped. He lifted the receiver and dialed 911. More or less instantly, a dispatcher asked, "What is your current location?" Reacher said, "Give me the FBI."
"Sir, what is your current location?"
"Don't waste time."
"Do you need fire, police, or ambulance?"
"I need the FBI."
"Sir, this is the 911 emergency service."
"And since about September the 12th, 2001, you've had a direct button for the FBI."
"How did you know that?"
"Just a lucky guess. Hit the button and hit it now."
Reacher stared through the gap at the tiny slice of the main door. Nothing happening. Not yet. The sound in his ear changed. Dead air, then a new dial tone. Then a new voice. It said, "This is the FBI. What is the nature of your emergency?"
Reacher said, "I have information, probably for your field office in Omaha, Nebraska."
"What is the nature of your information?"
"Just connect me now."
"Sir, what is your name?"
Reacher knew all about nighttime duty officers. He had talked to thousands during his years in the service. They were always either on the way down, and therefore insecure, or on the way up, and therefore ambitious. He knew what worked with them, and he knew what didn't. He had learned the right psychological approach. He said, "Connect me now or you lose your job." A pause. Then dead air. Then a new dial tone. Then the outer door swept open. Reacher heard the loud swish of its rubber seal and saw part of its bright white frame flash through the limits of the narrow gap. He got a glimpse of a blue shoulder. He heard the fast click of heels on tile. He hung up the phone. He stepped forward and grabbed the folded towels with one hand and pushed the lobby door with the other and tossed the towels behind him and came face to face with Don McQueen.